Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As I mentioned yesterday, there's a part two to what we were sharing, so let me just go back to the original scripture. I won't read them all, but this is a good point of reference. It says in verse 34 of John 3, again, Jesus being spoken about as the Son of Man, though God, very God, lived on earth as a Spirit-filled man in utter and absolute dependence on God as an example for us. He was the author and the perfecter of faith, a life of faith. For whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. As we mentioned yesterday, is that God does not give the Spirit by measure. You and I may grieve the Holy Spirit and therefore only experience a measure of all that he is, but God has given you the Spirit without measure. That's the only way you can be Christ-like. That's how Jesus was able to be Father-like, because he had the Spirit without measure. God had given all things into his hands, and it says he did it because he loved him. So again, yesterday, we mentioned the fact that you don't have the Holy Spirit without measure because you've earned it, because you deserve it. It's an act of grace, God's love for you. It came with the package. You have been made complete in Christ. Now it says in John 17, we saw, as just affirmation of the fact that God's given us the same as he's given Christ, because he says, just as the Father loved him, he's loved us. So the Lord, the Father, gave the Spirit without measure, gave all things into Christ's hands because he loved him. He loves us the same, so he wouldn't withhold from us either. As a matter of fact, it says in John chapter 16 that everything that the Father has, Jesus said he has, and he's given to us. The Holy Spirit's to make all that real to us. The difference that we saw yesterday was, it says in John 13, just before Jesus is to wash the disciples' feet, it says that Jesus, in verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from the Father, he was going back to the Father. In other words, he lived a life of destiny, a heaven destiny, a heavenly destiny. He got on his hands and knees and washed their feet. What's the difference between you and I often in our walk with the Lord is that the Father, Jesus said again, as the Father sent me, so send I you. That's not possible if you weren't equipped with the same things he was equipped with. Because the Father loved him, he gave him the Spirit without measure, put all things into his hands. Because the Father loves you, he's given you the Spirit without measure and put all things into your hands. But Jesus knew, it says knowing, that the Father had given all things to his hands. The big dilemma for most believers is the deception of the enemy that we don't know who we are in Christ and don't know what we have. Now here's the thing that's interesting that I mentioned yesterday. This is kind of the part two of this word, is that I'm very, very grateful, and it's very much of God. There's so much said today about restoring and recovering the signs and wonders ministry of Jesus, because that's very much a part of Christ-likeness. We talk a lot around here about experiencing and releasing the fullness of Christ. Historically, unfortunately, in the evangelical world, we've only seen that as an issue of holiness. And it must start there. It must flow from there if it's going to have authenticity and credibility that has any kind of substance to it, or it's going to last for any length of time. And that there is this supernatural work of victory over sin's power in our life as an expression of the fullness of Jesus that I have. But also released through me should be the fullness of Jesus in the kind of ministry that he did. And the kind of ministry that he did was supernatural and signs and wonders. But I don't think that's really the greater works, though it's a result of the greater works. See, I think when we think about living extraordinary lives for Jesus, it can be so easily caught up into wanting to move in signs and wonders ministry that we get the cart before the horse. We get things backwards. And signs and wonders become a source of idolatry and a source of identity. So many charismatic believers that I know are constantly comparing themselves to whoever is the most famous and the biggest hitter, who has the wildest ministry, and they want to be just like them, but a lot of it's about self-worth issues. The more miracles I can do, the more miracles I can report, the more things I can talk about, and they feel like they are somebody of worth and value. And it can become a snare, but of course that's just the way the enemy is, isn't he? He always takes good things and tries to mess it up. Now where people get narrow, they go, well, the thing you're going after must be wrong if we got people screwing it up. No, that's not true at all. If the enemy's perverting something really bad, it's usually because something's really right, and therefore he's trying to pervert it. In those two passages of Scripture, in John chapter 3 and in John chapter 13, when it says that the Father gave everything into his hands, in chapter 13, when it says that Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, both of those Scriptures are immediately followed. There shouldn't be chapter 3 and 4 shouldn't have a chapter division. There's immediately following this incredible expression of servant love. In John chapter 4, just when Jesus is starting to become famous and everybody's going to him for baptism, he separates himself with his disciples, goes out of the way to a little place called Sychar, to minister to an outcast, broken woman who had been married 5 times, was now living with a man. In chapter 13, having said, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he lived a life with a sense of destiny, he got down his hands and knees, just in loincloth, and washed the disciples' feet, including Judas the betrayer. Those are amazing passages of Scripture. And it's not coincidental that they follow those statements about Jesus having the Spirit without measure, and in verse chapter 13, knowing that he had the Spirit without measure. See, I think where we get in trouble, and then the enemy brings in deception, and you get all these kind of superstar mindsets and perversion and people going after signs and wonders and then telling stories that really are only half true to try to authenticate their own ministry sometimes. Though there are a lot of great stories out there that are true. We're after authenticity. We're after the ministry of Christ. But I've just watched it. I'm old enough now. I've been around long enough now to see so many people tell half-truths because they want it to be true, because they want you to know they're just as anointed as that person. Or they're moving in that direction. Extraordinary lives, first and foremost, start with doing very ordinary things with extraordinary love. And that's the example in both of those passages of Scripture. And in the context of being what Heidi Baker calls laid down lovers of Christ, getting down into the dirt with Jesus, signs and wonders happen. Because God always follows compassion with the miraculous. But the greatest sign and wonder of a human for a human being is to give away the love of Jesus and just the ordinary things of life in extraordinary ways. It's so important that you hear this. Because if you don't, you're already walking in deception. And I'm just telling you, I know so many charismatic, sincere believers who are in such pursuit of signs and wonders ministry. And so often, there's a phoniness about them because their motivation isn't love. It's ministry. It's identity. It's recognition. It's acceptance. Now, did I say signs and wonders ministry were invalid? No. There's a valid expression of the life of Christ in signs and wonders, of course. And it's really happening in the earth. It's really God. God's teaching us, reminding us what Christ-like ministry looks like. But what Christ-like ministry looks like first and foremost. When the Spirit's being released without measure in a person's life, first and foremost. An extraordinary life, and CTKers, you've heard me say this before, an extraordinary life is not always doing what looks like extraordinary stuff. It's loving the lonely, rejected person, going out of the way for the one. Jesus did die for the whole world, but he lived and lives today in us and through us for the one. In sacrificial love. Loving the betrayers. Loving the outcast. In ways that you can't really put into a newsletter or give a great report so everybody gets so excited about it. That's Pentecost. That's supernatural ministry. All the other stuff follows. Jesus said, you can do all kinds of extraordinary things, but the greatest is what? Love. Just servant love. Down the dirt love. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.